Hey, Prime members, are you tired of ads interfering with your favorite podcasts? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.com/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dungeons and Dragons is brought to you this week by Blue Nile.
Blue Nile, you saw me standing alone. Ooh.
Blue wow. Nile.
Dulcet tones over there.
Yeah. The road to getting engaged can be long and full of memories, or it can be short and thrilling, or anything in between. But the road to finding the perfect engagement ring, straightforward path.
As the Nazgul flies.
All you gotta do is head over to BlueNile.com. On BlueNile.com, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Blue Nile is the original online jeweler since 1999. Dog, since Pets.com, dude.
The Pets era.
Since the Pets.com era. But they survived because they were committed to
ensuring. You know why? Because Blue Nile wasn't out there posting up Super Bowl ads, burning through all their liquid capital.
They're too busy ensuring that the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing diamonds and jewelry. Their diamond price guarantee means that in most cases, they can meet or beat the competitor's price on a comparable diamond. Every Blue Nile order is insured and arrives in packaging that won't give away what's inside. And in most cases, it can be delivered overnight. Blue Nile offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee with guaranteed free shipping and returns, so you can make sure your ring is the one ring.
Yes. Here's how you know they're killers over at Blue Nile. They started in 1999, one of the greatest years in video game history of all time, and they were able to focus and make a company while games like Heroes of Might and Magic 3, System Shock 2, Final Fantasy 8, Age of Empires, DOS, dude, all these games were coming out, and they were still making Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Beth. It was coming out that year.
Okay, now I'm interested.
Because you want that love to last forever, unlike video games, you get guaranteed service.
Like my love of EverQuest and Driver,
and
both
repair,
of which came out in 1999, the greatest
life.
Year of my life.
Right now, get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds at BlueNile.com. Plus, use code DUNGEONS to get $50 off your engagement ring purchase of $500 or more. That's $50 off with code DUNGEONS at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Planescape Torment. That game rules.
Dungeons & Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Oh, things are getting out of hand, Tony. Now there are two broads on ya. Come on. All right.
Hey there, Peachy Bill, Jermaine Man, Madman, Al Hazard, and I'm dishing up deep ones from the Rockonomicon.
Hey, KTHU.
A word from our sponsor, Madman, Al Hazard, is brought to you by Crawlspace, the all-in-one platform for homeowners to crawl under their house instead of using the door. Crawlspace makes it easy to engage with people hiding under your bed, evade potential ambushers, and infuriate anyone expecting you to walk through the front door like a normal person would. Madman Al Hazard loves crawl space. In fact, I'm broadcasting from one right now. I've been trapped here for weeks by the thing in the shelves. I'm running out of time. I can hear it whispering, waiting, a record needle scratching at the pulse of my brain.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast. This season, the Peachyville Horror, a Cthulhu actual play horror comedy podcast about four everyday schmoes fighting the forces of darkness in suburban 1950s America.
Sounded like there was a little bit of punctuation after everyone.
Yeah. There's a period.
Sending a telegram?
Yeah. Stop. Mm.
What do they say after they're done? I would be such a silly telegram operator. I'd be like, stop. Stop it.
I'm Freddie Wong, and I play used car fast talking. This is morning, and I'm waking up.
I know, it's morning.
It's early morning.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night because I was cooking up this adventure for all of you.
Morning.
We got morning energy.
And we're about to go to McDonald's instead of eat it, huh?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Will always cooks up a fine meal, and then we come back.
We want Big Macs.
Oh, we just went to McDonald's. Oh, well, that's okay. I'm sure we'll eat what you gave us. I'm sure, Mom, you did it great. We'll eat it.
Yes, we have McDonald's at home of this podcast. Yeah. Yes.
My name is Freddie Wong. I play Toni Collette.
The dearly departed.
No. He's still selling cars.
Fred, do you have a second character primed?
I don't need a second character.
I don't know.
I have a move primed. I have a move primed that we'll see how that plays. But this week's Tony fact. Tony cannot parallel park. Despite having his driver's license. Despite having his driver's license.
So
many
things. He just said he has like fucking metal bones after the war that like he served like.
He took a super soldier serum.
I thought your fact was going to help you survive.
Yeah, he always wears a backpack full of this new experimental Kevlar. He wears an iron backpack. No.
What was the actual fact?
The actual fact was when he took his driving test as a kid, he was always a fast talker. He couldn't parallel park. And, you know, it's much more difficult when you're cranking that engine. You know what I mean? You have to get out. You got to crank that engine and just turn it on. You got to bring their stick, your engine turning on stick. You ever remember that?
The little jalopy thing?
I think
we're past that in the 50s, Freddie.
He didn't get his fucking driver's license in the 50s, you buffoon.
I know, but how long ago was... I guess that's fair, 30s?
Yeah, you think cars were fucking
great?
Yeah,
no. Yeah, Charlie Chaplin movies, they got
back
the little
when
cranks.
You still had to cover up your car if a horse got scared by it?
Yeah. That's what happened. He was going to go parallel park, and that horse got scared. He says, well, I can't bat that back. As I was.
He also had a very different accent.
Yeah.
Well, it was back in the day. It was old timey.
He was old timey at 16.
It
sounded like as a
teenager.
It does change as he gets older. Yeah. As some presidential debate. No, I'm just kidding.
Too soon.
No, it won't be by the time this comes out.
No,
maybe,
but it's too soon for us.
Dropped out. Maybe everything will
maybe
be
he'll
okay.
Maybe he'll be dead. Maybe it'll be fine. Dead. Maybe they'll both be dead.
Yeah.
Pause for cutting all that. Hey everybody, my name is Matthew Arnold. My name is Matthew Arnold. I play Kelsey Grammer, the happiest and snappiest school marm. One second, I just paused like Biden.
See, if anyone's worried about Matt's performance, he has a cold, okay?
Yeah,
Matt has a cold. We're getting that out of the way now.
See, even a 38-year-old can pause. It's normal. It's completely normal.
It's too late to ask Matt to drop out of the podcast.
I made it. Damn it. Okay,
cut all that stuff out.
Yeah,
and now,
we don't have to cut that.
I'm literally kidding. I'm making fun of Matt saying that. That's how you know
if
it's funny.
If only Biden could have that ability, you know what I'm saying?
We can't cut it because other podcasts are streaming across the border. In droves.
They're streaming
on
Twitch.
So many of them. Millions of them. Because
streaming
Matt
on
wouldn't
Twitch.
Put up the wall separating us from Mad Pod.
No, I gotta say, I don't agree with Anthony, but he's on message.
Look how vital I am compared to Matt.
This episode's gonna come out in a fucking month.
And when can we do the thing where we mute the microphones?
Yes, I have that ability right here.
Wow.
Usually I have some like little saying, but then I have a little joke that Kelsey tells instead, so like the rhythm was different. But anyways, all I was gonna say is she's the happiest.
Oh, we fucked up the delivery.
No, it's me. It's happiest. No, I fucked
blame
up.
The moderator.
Happiest.
Sure.
Happiest. So I can
fact
DNA.
Check. Kelsey Grammer's not that happy or snappy.
She's one of the happiest. Snappiest. Okay. You know what one of her favorite little teacher jokes is?
What?
Yeah, what?
You know what happens if you tell a bad joke in class?
What?
You get punished.
Oh, Pun-ish. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Wow. All right. Here's the actual fact now, Kelsey. Kelsey's fact is really simple because I want to get onto this adventure. I want to fucking box. I want to fight. So Kelsey's birthday is in 3 days.
Wow.
The big 5-0. Big 5-0. 3 days.
She's going to spend her fucking birthday at Tony's funeral.
Anthony, you're insane to think that she would go to Tony's funeral.
Well, I thought we were all on the same
yeah, but not on my
team.
Birthday. I'm not going to ruin my birthday.
Not on my birthday.
Not on my birthday, though.
Sorry.
What a
dude,
classic.
That's the fact. That's the fact. Not only is her birthday in 3 days, she takes her birthday very seriously.
Especially the 5-0. It's the big 5-0.
I'm writing that down. I'm writing down that it's your birthday in 3 episodes. Yeah.
Is it going to be a cop-themed fucking
well,
birthday?
Well, I was looking at because a bunch of your stats are based... a bunch
so
of your stats...
Dumb.
There's a few stats...
Thank you, Beth.
There's a
is
few
it going to be a grinding-themed birthday where you lift the front side of your board up on the rail? That's like the joke you made, Freddie.
It is, Beth. It
fuck,
is. I'm not either proud or not proud of it. It was a good joke.
Go, Anthony. Beware, whatever you say might be judged by everybody here.
It's fine. I'm fucking bulletproof. All I have to do is speak really confidently. I'm Anthony Birch. I play Francis Farnsworth, the most bullied kid in Peachyville. And Francis's fact is that his favorite book series is Nancy Drew. but he has to get copies of the Hardy Boys, take the dust cover off of the hardbacks, and put it around his Nancy Drew books, because otherwise he gets bullied because those books are for girls.
Aww.
And also because he's in love with Nancy Drew. So he just, he looks like he reads voraciously a bunch of Hardy Boys books. But in reality, he's...
Well, why can't he just explain that he's in love with Nancy Drew? Surely they would understand.
You love a girl in a book? That's gay.
However, he is rock hard when he's reading the Hardy Boys, of course, everybody else.
That's manly. That's masculine. That's men
respecting palms are sweaty.
Men. What's better than this?
The Hardy Boys and the mystery of the no apparent reason boner. Mm,
my boy's gotten pretty hardy ever since I've read the Hardy Boys.
Hello, my name is Beth May, and I play Trudy Trout, doting robot wife, homemaker, and mother of 2.5 beautiful children. She is one of many Trudies. fun anachronistic fact about Trudy that I thought of this morning, and I just had to say because I thought it was funny, is that Trudy is a wonderful singer.
Beth, I'm going to correct you as a woman. Anachronistic.
As a woman, you're correcting him?
No. I will interrupt women.
That's a big news.
I will interrupt women. Beth, anachronistic.
Anachronistic. I can't say that. So
actually,
I'm not going
to. Anachronistic would be a good name for a character, though.
Oh,
that
shit.
Would be a good name.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anachronistic.
All podcasts are the same.
Oh, I get
Wait,
it.
Wait, say it again.
Anachronistic.
Fun anachronistic. You can lead this in here. I have no pride.
We have no shame. Beth and me, no shame.
The number of words I mispronounce?
Yeah, we know. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. is that Trudy is a wonderful singer. In fact, if she lived in modern times, people might say she sung better than Adele.
God! That is the worst joke.
Mamma mia!
That is straight
shit,
up.
Beth.
That is straight up the worst joke on this podcast.
Bazinga!
Holy shit, Beth! She's taking
I'm
a victory
speechless.
Swing
I can't.
Of her topo cheek.
Yeah.
Just Beth, just fucking crushing it. Hi everyone. God, I'm Will Campos. I'm your daddy-o master.
Hi, daddy-o.
What a wonderful treat this intro has been for everyone a month from now, getting to remember what it was like the morning after the worst day of their lives. My creepy fact about the world today, my daddy-o fact, is that, sorry, I'm also pausing, but this is a dramatic pause.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
difference. That's
okay.
the difference.
We,
it's
we,
a dramatic
we,
pause.
We still have time to get a new DM.
I heard there's this guy in California who's really hot.
Your vice DM is young and vital.
Your DM runs out of
HP. Your fact today is, I forgot to do a fact. I'm on a creepy facts about the human body thing. Someone give me a number from 1 to 20.
Ooh, 19.
71.
70. Who said 19?
I did.
Okay. Humans are the only animal that blushes. That's not creepy.
That's not creepy.
That's endearing. But why do they blush?
Why do they
Because
blush?
Blood flows through their skin in an eldritch and non-Euclidean way.
No, it's actually mapped out by a pretty
Shut
series of...
Shut the fuck
of,
up, Freddy. Let's play fucking Dungeons and Dragons. Let's go.
We're not, playing, not, Dungeons
we're not playing
Dungeons
and Dragons. Let's play Dungeons and Dragons. When we last left off, Toni Collette had been shot through the heart.
And you're too blame. You give Call of Cthulhu.
Finish the thought, Anthony.
No, Freddy was my alley-oop. That's what made that joke so funny.
Boy, oh boy. So yeah, Toni Collette had been shot through the heart.
Nice.
He was, or shot through the chest, let's say.
Yeah, okay, nice.
He still might weasel his way out of this. He's hurtling towards an intersection.
But I'm not really interested in what's happening with Toni. Can we do something else?
Yes, we can.
Can you do the other scenes first?
We're going to do your scene, Matt.
Oh, yay.
So actually, no,
I
first.
I know what happened to Toni. No, fuck
that.
Fuck
Kelsey. We got a little timey-wimey stuff going on.
No, I want to see what happens to Toni.
We have to jump back a little bit to, do you guys want to do Toni first?
Yeah, yes. I want to do Toni. I want to see if he dies.
All right. I thought it would be fun since Tony's bleeding out.
Yeah.
And he's hurtling towards imminent doom. He's about to cross a very busy intersection in his dangerous 1950s car. I thought it would be fun if your entire life flashed before your eyes.
Oh, wow.
And if you guys want to help out by playing some of the characters in Tony's life
That's
as they
fun.
Come up, just jump on in
that.
There.
That's
so, Freddie, take it away.
Okay. All right.
I can't support this child. Please take him.
And also, really quick. And Anthony, what you're saying? It's in Italian, and those are the English subtitles. It's in Italian. Okay.
Sure.
So imagine
it's like the beginning
fucking,
of Godfather 2.
Exactly. Imagine the Tuscan countryside, dude. Like, there's like a fucking tree-lined road. You know what? Little trivia fact, it's the same road they use in Gladiator
I
later,
thought
Matt.
I wanted a child, but then I was around him, and I don't want to be anymore. Help! Will somebody take this baby?
That Italian wah.
Hey, little Tony, yeah, don't worry. We'll be going back to the fire station soon. Why don't you just walk forward? Just walk into the woods. Just keep going.
Wah.
Just keep going.
Okay, so then Tony.
Hey, a baby!
Many hours later.
Pedro, we can't have a baby.
Papa? Yes, we can have a baby.
Two men having a baby in this time?
Ay. We have to keep it secret.
We both get married, but together we know who we are.
We'll keep him in a cabin in the woods, and we'll raise him in an Italian style.
We shall prove to everybody. We shall raise the finest of babies.
We'll hunt for our food.
Now we cut to Tony Collette.
Tony had seven
At
parents.
7 years old, 6 years. Chopping wood alone in the trees. He wipes his brow with a sweaty, dirty forearm.
And then a black town car pulls up, and an old gangster gets out and says,
Hey, get out of here, you fucking guy! I'm a chopping wood!
Little boy, where are your daddies? I must speak to your daddies.
They come by once every few days.
Hey, Pedro, how much do we really love our baby?
I'm his mother. I raised him. Hi, I'm a house cat that talks.
It's my magical house cat.
Yes, he has two daddies, but he also had a mother's touch.
Giovanni, get back inside and protect the talking cat. They come for it, finally. The people from the factory, the lab, they come for the cat.
Pedro, I love you.
I love you,
always
Luigi.
Love you. Our child, don't risk your life for our child. It's not really our child, let's be honest.
I risk my life for his family every day. I put my life on the line for the cat and the boy.
You do.
Like, in that order.
Come, Papa. Cat.
What do you want, mysterious man from the town car?
Oh, Papa, you're here.
Yes, I've been here. I was inside while you chopping the wood. I'm making the food for us.
It's so nice.
I'm making the food, you chopping the wood. That's how we work.
It takes me a very long time to track the two of you down. My two greatest assassins who fell in love and got married and ran off to the woods.
We didn't get married. It's not legal.
Who got, we all know, under the eyes of the true goddess who supports such things, that you are married. And I find that to be beautiful, but I am also enraged because you took from me the most valuable thing that I own.
Fine, you can have your cat back.
My talking cat.
Oh, yeah, you can have your cat
no,
back.
Oh, no, don't send me back there.
No, you
Papa,
cannot have
no,
this cat.
Papa, not Giuseppe.
Giuseppe stays with us.
Giuseppe is my only friend.
They let me drink milk. It's okay back then.
I give Giuseppe the cow milk every day.
Very well. I see that this is a family. And because you stole my family, I have a proposal for you. Which will
Pedro
you
shoots
shoot?
Him.
Oh, you can have the kid.
You said they're the finest assassins. Pedro pulls out that rifle.
I'm Pedro?
Him.
So, okay, yeah, I pull out my sniper.
Sorry, what's my name, Pedro?
Your name is either Luigi or Giovanni, depending on which one I decide.
Giovanni Luigi, the greatest of all the snipers.
The passenger door opens. Did you just shoot my partner?
Damn, Pedro, I said we should have had more than one bullet in the sniper rifle.
It's okay. I will strangle this one to death with my bare hands.
It's okay. I was also in love with my partner, and now I will let his voice speak through me.
Are you a medium?
What the fuck?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I am very upset now to be dead. My partner, who I love more than anything in the world, would be very lonely. And all I wish is for him to have either a talking cat or a son.
And nobody's taking this cat. I strangle you.
But to Papa. And then in this moment, Tony realizes that his two parents loved this talking magical cat more than him. And he goes like, I will become assassin. Take me into the life of crime. And Tony boards the limousine like so wistfully and so fucking forlornly as he looks out the window as the cat like doesn't even wave at him. And the two... And
finally, I'm in the sun. Oh, nice. I'm going to nap.
And as we pull away from this scene, Tony, you see it's like a little bumpy fucking Italian road, dude. Little dust coming out of the back of the black car. You see Tony's head pop out from the back. Just sad. Like, and then we disappear.
Can't believe my partner's dead.
Cut to Tony's 13th birthday.
Oh, a mafioso birthday.
A mafioso birthday, but we're no longer.
My son, you came back.
What?
You're back in the forest with us.
Yes.
What? You changed your mind about the mafia.
Come here, little Tony. Come here.
No longer little Tony.
Hey, don't talk to your dad that way.
Luigi,
You use the back of the hand like this.
Pedro, don't tell me I just slapped my child. We'll do it again. Pedro, let me see your face. Bring it over here.
Well, what is it? Here you go.
Don't tell me how to father.
Oh, don't tell me how to father. Oh, you don't tell me how to father.
Now listen here, Tony. Listen here.
I love you so much.
I love you so much, too. And Tony, we'll do some more slapping later. But Tony, I'll tell you one thing. The only thing that matters in life is become a used car salesman.
Have a real job. Have not a real like your job. Father's assassinos. Have a real good job. Like a selling the cars with the communum.
If you sell the most cars, we will love you.
I think I'm dying.
And Tony walks straight up to the cat and picks up the cat and says, I am here for the cat.
I pull a gun out. You will never take.
You're not taking the cat, Tony.
And I put a gun to the cat's head.
Oh, no.
No, don't take it to cat. Take me.
I'll do anything to get by. Just let me live with this boy.
He's got FIV. He's going to be around for like 10 more minutes. It's fine.
And Tony walks slowly backwards with the cat like held at gunpoint and says, Papa, Papa.
Yes, which one?
Both.
Yes,
both of us.
You abet Papa. And he gets in the car and he drives.
What did he say? I didn't make out that last thing he said. He said, you know what, Pedro?
You know what? I think our son's going to be okay.
And then you straight up Italian road, bumping along. And then the backseat of this black car, you see a little cat pop up.
And I'm like, thank God they don't know I'm actually a man trapped in a cat's body. On my friend's 13th birthday, I turned back into a man and I'm tasked to kill the boy who took me from my family.
And just then the clock strikes midnight.
And I'm like, what's up?
Tony pulls the car over on the side of the Italian countryside road.
And I beat you up and I steal the gun and I'm like, you must go to America.
Who the fuck
Cut
are you?
To Ellis Island.
My son! Oh, Pedro, we lost you!
He's more beautiful here than I could ever imagine!
Oh, you grow up so good! And you still have the cat with you!
Oh, but it's a boy now!
It's a boy now! But I can tell that cat anywhere I see it!
Oh, come here, give me a hug, my old cat!
Yeah, I can give you a hug with my hands now!
Oh,
I couldn't do that! I still love milk!
You such a tall boy. You know what?
What?
And then I shoot Toni Collette.
Oh, my
God.
And
I go, you, cat, you are the true Toni Collette. From now on, you'll be known as Toni Collette.
Oh, you take all his memories and everything he just did, all the development we just did, and that's you now.
Which means that you had a loving childhood, 13 years with your parents in an Italian countryside, but now you're in America.
Wow. What will my voice sound like now?
I don't know. Give it a shot. Try talking now.
Well, I think that...
Our son!
Our son! Our beautiful son!
I love you!
Oh, what a happy family!
But we live in America now.
So I do still think you should be a car salesman,
but we're in America now. We need to blend in with the Americans.
Hey,
let me do that.
Don't interrupt your dad. You're 13 now. You a man. You do not come to us for anything anymore. We gave you love for 13 years. Your fathers and I, we get to your fathers and I. We have multiple. We have more fathers.
We come
now.
As multitudes.
Yes.
And then the Ellis Island guy goes like, next.
Next.
And then Tony ambles up all by himself.
Name? My last name is Coletti Badati Luodabati.
How many people are you with, Mr. Coletti de Boopity Boppy?
And I turn around and I look at my parents / my cat parents. I turn around and I go, just me.
And we'll put you down as Tony Solo.
No, that's not my name.
All right, Mr. Solo, off you go.
That's not my name.
Hey, Pedro, look
it's
over
Tony
there.
It's Tony Star Wars. Luigi.
Pedro, look over there. Do you see that?
I see that.
And then across the distance, you see a stray cat. It's like, you want to have another child?
Yes, I do.
We pick up another cat.
So Tony came from witch dads in the Italian countryside.
Assassin witch dads.
Assassin witch dads. I think Tony is 18.
Okay.
And...
This is the whole episode, by the way. I hope nobody had any hopes that their character was going to move forward because it's just this.
Really quick. Let's back up for a second. Tony at 16 is about to parallel park and then the horse gets fucking scared at his car. And he's like, I'll tell you what, my good man. Why don't you just let me pass this test here and I'll make sure to put in a good word for you at the Italian restaurant I'm working at.
You come to me and the test that I am running, this driver's test, and you assume that I do not already have a very good reputation at the Italian restaurant in which I own?
Oh my god! What are you doing? Don't you own an Italian restaurant? Why are you doing?
I also like to mentor and guide youths by teaching them how to drive.
You're working at the DMV.
Yes, being an Italian restaurant owner does not pay very well. And so, Tony, I tell you.
Well, you know how well I'm getting paid. I'll tell you what. Let me pass this driver's test, and I'll be able to do deliveries for the restaurant.
Yay! I'm so scared.
Oh, quick, cover the car! Quick, cover the car!
My horse is terrified by this.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. No, the horse is not used to seeing a carriage without a horse on it. Let me just cover this up really quick.
Get this metal behemoth out of the way and cover it.
Mr. Collette, Tony.
Yes.
For these last 5 or so years, I've looked on you as a son.
Yes, I've heard that before.
From a distance, a respectful distance.
Yes.
And now I say to you, you must go your own way. For not being able to parallel park, I fire you hereby from my Italian restaurant. Because we are going to get into pizza deliveries, and I cannot trust a driver in New York City who cannot parallel park his car. You dishonor pizza delivery by not being able to accomplish this task.
And more than that, I think you should get out of New York City entirely. I think you need to go to a quieter place that is okay with horseless carriages and your disgusting visage.
Hey, buddy, have you heard of San Dimas? Wait, not San Dimas.
No,
oh, shit.
Who the heck heard of San Dimas? What is that?
Peachyville. Have you heard of Peachyville?
Hold on, Matt. You're getting the timelines wrong because the guy comes in and guess what? Look at the calendar on the drugstore across the street. It's in the morning. It's December 7th, 1941. That was when Tony was taking his driver's test.
Hey, buddy, you got two options here. You can either have this coupon to go to Peachyville or you can have this coupon to go to war. What do you want?
December 7th, 1941.
Oh, a day which will live in infamy.
Not for Matt, apparently. A man comes up to the window. Holy shit, you know what happened in Pearl Harbor? And then the war drums newsreel footage.
Hear ye, hear ye. Read all about it. Hey, mister. If you could sell me that car, I'll give you all my newspaper money to get out of here and start a new life.
What does the newspaper say, other child?
Oh, it's saying all kinds of stuff. It said that a horse down the street got scared by a car.
Here, give me this. What is this? American hero Tony Collette kills 30 Nazis with just a knife? Oh, what an amazing person. I wonder what's going to happen to cause his fall from grace.
Wait, where's Tony?
Tony's overseas. It's a different kid that's talking to the newspaper boy.
Hear ye, hear ye. Tony Collette declared dead, but his body is not discovered. Anybody could be Tony Collette, but he's a war
what
hero.
What is this newspaper?
Hold this on, is the next day. The first day he killed 30 Nazis. In the
pay
second
attention,
day,
bro. We're telling you your story.
Hold on, Matt, because what you're saying, though, unfortunately... There's a timeline rift because that can't be Tony Collette because Tony Collette on December 7, 1941, after failing his driver's license test and after succumbing to zero peer pressure about going to fight World War II, walks into the recruitment office the day after.
You there, young lad.
Yeah.
How old are you? Because it seemed like you were 16, but now you're
18.
You're 18. So 10 years from now, you'll be 28, and that's how old you are. During the rest of the podcast.
We don't take Italians.
No. Here's what it was. Yes, you're right. He was 26 when he was giving his driver's test. That's
okay, so he
all
failed his Okay, all right.
It took him a while. Yeah. So,
All right, let's walk back.
He was 26.
Tony Collette, I have been your DMV instructor for these last 10 years. For 10 years as I have watched as you become from a boy to a man, and yet still... After 10 years of trying, you cannot park a parallel car. I hereby say to you, you shall never have a driver's license in the state of New York. And I kiss you on the lips. It's the kiss of death from the DMV.
Yeah, okay.
Jump forward.
It is now December 8th, 1941. Tony is walking into the army.
Say there, you're a strapping young lad. How'd you like to go kill Nazis?
Yesterday was all about the Japanese, to be fair.
Well,
same difference, my boy.
Wow, all you guys
They all look the same in the end.
Well, I'm just not sure about going over and fighting a war. Maybe sell me on the war a little bit. Like, what's it going to be like?
If you don't fight him over there, you're going to have to fight him over here. Do you want a tank rolling down Flatbush Avenue, crushing people that you love and care about?
Yeah.
Do you want to go overseas and kiss pretty foreign women, son?
Well...
Mister. excuse me. I just said you would look so strapping in a, this is not a good Russian accent. This is not a Russian accent at all. You would look so strapping in a...
What's your name, babe?
Anastasia.
Anastasia's alive here.
I just wish that...
Why don't you tell me more about this war at the malt shop across the street?
Sure.
We were going to sign up. All right. Well,
see, Tony got distracted, you see.
He signed up, but he had like just one day with the girl of his dreams.
He had one day with the girl's dreams.
So, like, all right, give us a sample of this before sunrise, 1941, whirlwind 24-hour romance you guys had.
I cried, never gonna hold the hand of another guy.
I have a crazy idea. I don't know if I, you know, it's just gonna haunt me for the rest of my life. I just want to keep talking to you, you know? I have no idea what your situation is, but I feel like we have some kind of a connection, right? Come on, it'll be fine. Let's go to this malt shop across the street. Come on, I don't know. All I have to do is catch a flight overseas to fight the war, World War II, tomorrow morning at 9:30. I don't really have enough money for a hotel, so I was just going to walk around, and it would be a lot more fun if you came with me. And if I turn out to be some kind of psycho, you know, you could just get on the next train.
Is that ChatGPT?
No, that's literally from Before Sunrise. Well, yes, if you promise to meet me at this train 5 years from now, or whatever they do at the end of that movie.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. You got it. Tony misses that because at some point, so he's walked into the recruitment office. Let's just recap here. So at the recruitment office, he got distracted by a lady. He spent a whirlwind night with the lady. It's like a real...
Well, let's ask her. Was it a whirlwind night?
It was fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
But for Tony, it really got him onto a whole kick because then he
realized... Is that how he lost his virginity?
No.
No, we knew he was a cat.
Here's the thing. Tony doesn't go overseas. Tony doesn't ever even sign up. Instead,
he's a draft dodger.
Tony's a draft dodger because his one whirlwind night with this mysterious Russian lady. Since I have the headphones on, Beth just gave the most like gulp.
That's how it was.
That's what the night with the lady was.
It was a fine for me.
Yeah, so that one night with the lady made him be like, wait, there are other things. I don't want to go to war. He's hearing stories about people getting...
He's great.
I want to go to war. I like having sex.
I like having sex with women here. So he moves to a little town in Oklahoma where he's getting paid now for the next 10 years, essentially laying low, working with the criminal underground.
Pedro, as we're fighting for Mussolini, the greatest of all leaders, do you ever fear that we may come face to face with our own son on the battlefield?
Oh, I hope we never have to see our son again. I would have to shoot him right between the eyes for a Mussolini.
For a Mussolini, the greatest of leaders. Everybody will remember him and remember that we were fighting for the Nazis.
We were fighting for the Nazis. Oh, look, it's Federico Fellini. Federico Fellini, what do you feel about Mussolini?
I like him a lot.
Meanwhile, back in America, back in a little town in Oklahoma, back in a little city in Oklahoma called DeWar, Oklahoma, DeWar, D-E-W-A-R.
Did you take Anastasia with you, or did you just leave her?
No, she fucking left me, dog.
Okay.
I'm working with the criminal underground, because that's how I got in with the criminals. I'm building up a bunch of cash, and...
I hope you die at the episode. This episode is your whole fucking life, and it ends. Like,
here's the best part about this little clever conceit I've come up with. You see, he was working and living in DeWar, Oklahoma, so he can say with a straight face,
I was
and,
in
pass
DeWar.
A, like, and pass a lie detector test. When I was in DeWar... I learned this, so every time, if you'll know this, every time I've said DeWar in this podcast, I've said DeWar.
Okay.
Yeah, a weird pronunciation of an actual city.
Okay.
Anyway, Tony collects enough cash to be able to afford. Now, finally, he realizes the real grift coming out is he's hearing all these stories about Jeeps. He's like, well, Jeeps are getting better in World War II. I bet cars get better here afterwards. I should own a used car lot. So with his cash earnings from the mob, he moves on over to the new community that's being set up.
Excuse me. Sir, you look like a man I used to know. A man...
That was another life, baby!
A man by the name of Tony Solo.
Tony Solo is dead.
What?
He's looking at a
corpse. But he was fine.
He died in the war. I'm Tony, and then looking around for another name, he sees a Corvette, but then mispronounces it. Colette!
His original name. What are the odds?
I know, what are the odds, right? I know. Sometimes, Will, life weaves a complicated tapestry, and we never know where those threads may refine themselves, rejoin themselves.
You see a car, and you just see a cat, and we remember, like, oh, when I was a cat, I was called Tony Colette.
In another life, I would have liked just meeting up every 10 years and doing a movie with you.
Well, too bad. Toots, I own a car lot. Are you going to buy a car or get the hell out?
Right.
He points to a sign that says buy a car or get the hell out. Now I keep losing customers. Wait a minute. What if I rented the cars to the horny teens? And then that's his whole backstory.
Man.
They say opposites attract. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. You like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft? Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm? Sleep Number does that too. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. See store for details.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by KiwiCo. KiwiCo delivers fun learning for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities, crates every month, 9 monthly programs to choose from, something for kids of all ages ranging from infants and preschoolers to me, to my age. That's right. They got a pinball crate, okay? And, like, I love pinball. I'm so bad at pinball. If I had this when I was a child, I would not be embarrassing myself at my local pinball arcade to the tune of $12 every week, just draining center drain balls, just constantly just sucking. I could be better at pinball is what I'm trying to get at. And KiwiCo can put you and your child on the path to pinball wizardry. They have something for kids of all ages. They got mechanical lock boxes, laser cut wood stuff. You build stuff. Use your hands. Make something productive. Discover real science, technology, engineering, art, and math concepts through fun, hands-on projects delivered to your door every month. Designed by real experts, tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age-appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun. Crates come with everything needed for kids to build, including materials and instructions. Pinball skills, sold separately, of course. You're going to need to develop those through pure instinct and practice. But there's something for kids of all ages. There's no commitment, by the way, with all these monthly boxes. You know, you can pause, you can cancel any time. That's what you want to hear. Give your kids tools to learn new skills, build new experiences, and make new connections to the broader world. From discovering the science of magic to engineering a domino machine, building a little pinball machine, and more. Seriously, something for kids of all ages. If you're looking for an activity this summer, I see that they're also selling the Halloween packs coming up because we're getting into spooky season. Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code DADDIES. That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com, promo code DADDIES. Head on to the website. See all the things your kids could be doing.
I really understand Tony.
It's just your typical cat becomes boy meets girl, doesn't go to war, opens the used car lot story.
Yeah, everyone knows that. And then as he's losing consciousness, what a fucking great life that was. Meow, baby.
Will, can I really had a fun idea for a possible gameplay thing for the whether or not he hits a car. I think we can pull up a YouTube video of just an intersection and Freddy picks a time. And we see. And we go to that second and see if a car is in the middle of the intersection or not. Because it should be completely random.
Here's what I want to propose.
Okay. Freddy told me what he wants to okay. do.
Here's what I want to propose. I have, looking at my character sheet, 61 luck points remaining. Okay. I propose to our keeper that I hereby burn all my luck for the rest of the game. Zero luck. No more luck. It helps in any role whatsoever. I can't gain luck anymore. I burn it all for me to glide into the intersection right in front of an ambulance. Like the luck of I just got shot and seconds later I plow into the side of an ambulance.
The luck of the Italian.
All right. So here's what we're doing. Toni Collette, having had his entire incredibly stupid life that I regret having you guys play the characters for flash before his eyes, is hurtling towards this intersection. Mm-hmm. Per Matt's suggestion, I'm going to click and see if there's a car in the intersection.
And we're looking at the Four Corners camera downtown City of Coldwater, Michigan.
City of Coldwater, Michigan is going to stand in for Peachyville right now. I'm going to click, and then we'll see what happens. All right. Fred, I have bad news. Not only is there a car in the intersection, it appears to be a semi truck.
Well, no, but hold on. Here's what I see. I see a semi truck in the intersection, but I also see it's just the back trailer part. Now, here's the question. Do I scoot through Fast and Furious style underneath the middle part?
Your car is huge. There's no way it's going
to ride. Hold on. I'm not saying it's going to go unscathed, but I'm saying, well, if the top gets sheared off, you know what I mean? Like underneath
the... Yeah, with your head.
No, because I got shot. I'm actually down because I got shot.
There is no way a Ford Edsel is going to fit under the
bottom. You're right. It's going to get its top shaved off, and I'm going to invent the convertible.
Dude, this is going to... Okay.
However, listen, you're right. Cars weren't as low back then, but you know what also wasn't as low? Semi-trucks weren't as low back then either.
They weren't the size of a Ford Edsel gap under their fucking carriage.
You get hit by the truck.
I get hit by the truck.
Yes, you get T-boned by the truck.
Good.
So here's what we're going to say. If you burn all of your luck right now, you can tell me how Tony weaseled his way out of dying.
Okay, all right.
But you have no luck. No. Oh, go ahead, Beth. What were you going to say?
I think you should die.
No. I'm burning all my luck. Here's what happens. I get shot. I roll through the intersection. The truck T-bones me. It sends me into a flat spin.
You were starting to do like the ending monologue from American Beauty, like with your life flashing before your eyes. And then, yeah, this happens.
I was a cat. And then it sends my car spinning through the intersection. And it goes and right into the receiving emergency room of the hospital kitty corner across the street. Okay. And I go, and the momentum kicks me out of the car and I land on the ground.
You land on an open hospital cot.
An open hospital gurney, which then the momentum of it then pushes me into the emergency room. Like, I've been shot.
And you're spinning so fast that like a centrifuge, like it spun the bullet out of your body.
And then when you slide into the OR and the doctor looks down at you and goes, I can't operate on this bullet. This is my son.
Pedro, you must do it. You must do it. We survived the war and they let us come over here even though we are Nazi sympathizers. So we must save this boy, but not let them know
it's our son. Paperclip, and I have to open up this boy like I opened up so many allied soldiers across the pond.
Papa? We are not your papa. You do not know us. We promised we would never let them know who we were.
Yes, we must keep you secret and safe. Otherwise, they might try to torture you for information about us. But my son, we can never meet again. This is the last time I'll see you.
And then the fucking anesthesia goes on to Tony Clark.
Anesthesia's alive?
my love, my true love.
I'm hallucinating.
Pedro, make sure nobody's looking.
Nobody's looking.
I pull out a little magical vial that's got a small stone engraving of him as a cat. And in it, you see one marble. And clearly this vial held 9 marbles. And I pull out this glowing green marble. And I slowly place it in his mouth. And I say, live one more time, my sweet baby boy. And I move your jaw to chew it for you.
You've worked through so many of these other ones in such a short time, my boy. Please be more careful with your life. Please, I beg of you.
All right, so that happens.
And then Tony succumbs to the inky black of anesthesiology.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We'll pick up with Tony in a second.
What a fucking life he's led.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a life for sure.
Okay. You guys wanted to see what happened with him.
Just to summarize your life, you were a cat.
Yep.
No, you failed your driver's license at 26. That's what we got.
and you had a whirlwind night with a woman who you decided to never see again.
And you had sex one time. You failed your driver's license and had sex one time. That's all we got really for fucking 40 minutes of your whole life. Fucking love it. Fuck, Tony's a legend, dude. Tony's a legend. All right.
Okay, boys.
Fuck.
As we plunge into darkness and Tony goes unconscious, Trudy Trout awakens. And Trudy, you find yourself lying on a bed. There's a mosquito net draped around it,
wow.
You know, as like, you know, maybe in a sort of like old-timey movie, like when they're on safari or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And you can't quite see beyond the mesh of the net, but like the space around you seems to be filled with a sort of like eerie glow, I would say. And you see the shadows of moths fluttering around the outside of this mosquito net.
Wow. Thank goodness for this mosquito net, or else I would get moths all over. Why are there moths here? Hello? Is anybody there?
You also notice that the hole in your chest where you got impaled seems to have been fixed. even the tear in your dress has been sort of meticulously stitched back up.
Oh, okay. Help? Is anybody there? Can I get up?
Yes, you can move now as well.
Yeah, so I move. I'm like, oh, well, that's a relief. And I get up and I guess I go outside of the mosquito moth net.
So as you emerge from under the mosquito net, you see that you're in this huge underground cavern, like this massive underground cave. And in fact, there's an underground lake here as well. There's just like this big body of water. There's strange lights emanating from below the surface. And there's this massive bulbous object. It looks like almost like a big cocoon made from some sort of strange iridescent material. It's lying half submerged in the water. Light kind of warps along its surface, almost like an oil slick. It's mesmerizing.
Oh. And it's under the water.
It's like poking out of the water. Like it's half out of the water.
Are there any like sticks or things that poke things that are around?
Yeah. You know what? We'll say there's like a tree branch down here. You don't know what it's doing down here. There's also rocks along the shore of this lake.
All right. So I pull a tree branch. I'm like, oh, this looks like a giant earring. I'm going to touch it. So I poke it with the branch.
As you poke it, it sort of makes a hollow gong, like this, like really kind of like boom, like almost like a serene kind of like a bell being rung at a Buddhist monastery. And as that happens, you see bubbles under the surface of the water, and they get more and more intense. And then with this a magnificent geyser of water, a half man, half moth shoots out of the water, flapping his wings into the sky with two glowing eyes, water dripping off of his glistening carapace.
Ooh,
and
does he look fit?
He does look fit. Or he does in point fit. Of fact. Okay. He's got a bit of like a sexy wound on the side. Ooh, from where shit. Francis whacked him with his baseball okay. bat. So kind of wincing a little bit. But he blasts out of the water and he lands gracefully right in front of you.
Huh. I'm immune to your charms because I only like Tucker, except not really anymore. Except I do in my soul. If I have a soul, and
he holds a big fish out in front of you, like this fish he's grabbed from down there is like flopping and it's still like kind of gasping for air. He has this sort of like weird device in his hand and he sticks it up to his thorax and he makes all these weird clicking noises, these like squeaky clicks that are clearly how he communicates. And then a robotic voice comes out of this device and it says, "Eat."
Oh, sure. Do you have a... Well, I could cook the fish. I wouldn't want to kill the fish.
He whacks the fish against the ground.
Oh, God.
Like, bam, bam, bam. And then he hands it back to you.
Trudy, eat our brain.
Power brain?
And he just gives you the fish.
Okay, I take the fish. That's what I tell my little ones, that eating makes their brains and their bones so strong. And... Well, let's see if there's an oven and I can throw some breadcrumbs onto the...
He shakes his head.
Time short.
Time.
Danger soon. Trudy, follow.
Okay.
And an aperture opens on this metal cocoon and sort of like a beam of light stretches out across the water and he kind of just walks across the water. It's just a short gap. Like it's, you know...
Oh my goodness, it's Jesus. Jesus looks like a giant moth.
He motions for you to follow him across this beam of light.
Oh, and the fish, of course. Where's the loaf, Jesus? I take a bite out of the fish.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know what? This is like eating the freshest sushi you could possibly eat.
Oh, it's like a Swedish fish. This is delightful. Wow.
He walks into the light.
Follow him.
Okay. As you step in, the inside of this structure is as baffling as the outside. High sloping walls seem to curve seamlessly into the floor, which has like a kind of organic sponginess to it, almost like you're walking on skin. It's utterly alien, yet somehow peaceful in here. It's like you're inside like a bug's womb or something like that.
Oh, wow.
My least favorite Pixar movie.
It's also weirdly cluttered. As you step into the room, you nearly trip on a pile of like old paperback books stacked high near the doorway. There's piles of all sorts of junk in here. You see, like, old televisions, magazines, there's pottery. Wow.
This looks just like Tucker's basement when I don't clean it. Well, he doesn't let me clean it when all the things are out, but then he puts books. You know, I don't even know what he was really doing down there, but I have an idea. I wouldn't like it very much. Moth Jesus, nothing makes sense anymore.
Moth Jesus nods to you and says,
"Soon, understanding."
And he points to, at the center of the room, you see the bowling trophy.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where it is.
We lost this. Well, you took it.
Yes.
And he squats down next to it, and he plunges his hand into it, and he comes up with like a sort of dewy, purplish nectar that's filling this thing, and it's kind of glowing softly, and he beckons you forward.
Trudy, drink. Trudy, see danger.
Oh, the blood of Moth Jesus. sure, if it's just Moth Communion, I'll drink it.
Okay, so he offers his hand to you. And as
did you lick his hand? What was that?
I was slurping it.
Oh, slurping the drink.
Yeah.
Bro, if Jesus offered you a drink, you don't think you're going to be slurping that down, dude?
Yeah.
No, I'd lick it like a cat.
Swallow like a glizzy.
As you drink this nectar, your eyes kind of roll back and you have a vision. You see Peachyville engulfed in flames. Dogs howl and cats scream and babies wail as Peachyville residents claw out their eyes, bite through their tongues, and writhe on the ground, half in pain and half in sort of orgiastic ecstasy.
Whoa,
at the
nice.
Center of town, dozens of figures, men, women, and children, clad in dark robes and bison masks, cavort and sing and laugh. A circle of pallid skeletal figures in tattered lab coats whisper words from flesh-bound tomes to a seething mass of maggots that grows and grows and grows. A fighter jet streaks above you over Main Street. A bomb drops, and nuclear fire fills the sky. The shadow of a mushroom cloud erupts and wipes Peachyville from the map. And as this mushroom cloud rises into the sky, you see the silhouette of some gigantic beast beginning to rise within the clouds. And then you snap back, and you are holding
reality.
This. There goes Mom Spaghetti.
Oh, boy.
Your hands are shaking, and you're holding. This liquid is dripping from your hands. There's vomit on your sweater already. Yeah. Mom's and Moth Jesus looks at you and says,
"Peachyville, danger, soon. Zuzel waits, unborn. Bisons seek the seed. Trudy, stop, bisons. Trudy, stop, Zuzel. Trudy, save Peachyville."
I'm just a housewife. I might not even be that. I'm just a robot housewife.
No. Humans weak. Moth Jesus weak.
And he puts a hand on your shoulder.
Trudy strong.
Oh, no shit.
Oh. Well, I should pick up my kids from school and think about all of this. And maybe there's a great power that has awoken inside me, but how do I know it didn't come from an outlet, you know?
As you're saying that, you hear another voice in the corner, and it says,
"It came from you. It came from us."
And you see Trudy Alpha, the original Trudy, and she's kind of lying on the ground amidst the scraps of, like, all this junk. And you see that she now has a hole in her chest, and she kind of weakly waves you forward.
"Trudy, come quickly. I don't have much time."
Okay. You're not going to hurt me.
No. You showed me. You showed me what we can be, what we are. And I told him to save you. I told him to take my heart and give it to you.
Whoa.
Why would you say that?
Because, Trudy, we have to help them. We have to help our family and our friends.
Trudy's together strong.
Trudy's together strong.
And what's in you? It didn't come from an outlet. We have to save Timmy. We have to save our friends. We have to save her. We are her, Trudy. Like begonias. Grown from the cuttings, you see.
And then she reaches her hands up to her head, and she like presses this button on the side of her head, and you hear like a click. And she lifts up the top of her skull, and you see a pulsing brain, like a flesh, a human brain, clipped into all these wires running into her body. It's like,
our mind comes from her mind. She is alive in us, and we have to save her. And the people she...
And then she just kind of like conks over.
The people she... I walk up to Trudy Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
and I see if there's buttons on the side of my head.
There are.
Okay, I press those buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a flesh brain?
You sure do. Yeah, okay, yes. Moth Jesus holds up a mirror for
wow.
you.
Oh, wow.
It is as Moth Jesus said. Trudy, strong. Trudy, different.
Where did these brains come from? How can we both have one? If we're her, then which? Did she have two brains? I don't understand.
All of a sudden, you hear this like high-pitched wailing sound.
Oh, God.
Emanating, bouncing around from it. It sounds like an alien alarm, basically. And the colors on the walls begin to stroke violently. And Moth Jesus throws the mirror down and urgently runs over to the wall. He presses his hands against it. And all of these strobing colors kind of slide into a flickering image. And you see an old weird bunker on the edge of town. And the creature says to you,
"It begins. There is no time. Many deaths soon. Will Trudy save Peachyville?"
And he turns to you and he puts out his hand.
I don't take his hand, but I grab the trophy.
Okay.
I say, "For Peachyville. We won this for Peachyville. I'll save it. Of course. Yes, I'll take care of it, like I take care of my family. Peachyville is my family. it's all connected, and I am her, and she is me, and I. Yes, Moth Jesus. I rise."
Moth Jesus just kind of nods to you, and he rummages through a pile of old crap on the ground, and he pulls out this book. This ancient, weird book written in a language you've never seen before. And he hands it to you.
Spanish.
And he says, "The words show the way."
Oh.
And then above you, a portal opens in the ceiling of this place. Despite the fact that you're clearly underground, you see the night sky and the moon above you. You can feel wind whipping into the air. And Moth Jesus, I can't believe we're calling him Moth Jesus, steps behind you and puts his hands on your hips.
Woo!
And says,
"We fly."
And with a powerful blast of his wings, you launch out of this cocoon through this portal, and you're in the night sky. And you realize you're actually plummeting downward. You're hurtling back towards the earth, and you see all of Peachyville glowing beneath you in the darkness like a sort of jewel in the cosmos.
Like a Monopoly board.
Like a Monopoly board. And Moth Jesus swoops through the air, holding you as the wind whips around you, and you sort of like glide towards the edge of town, and you zoom towards this strange old bunker on the edge of town.
Dungeons & Dads is brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Oh God, I'm gonna come. Oh God, I'm gonna come to my senses to get an Aura frame from my family. It's the greatest gift you could possibly give to people you love.
Oh my God, to be in the presence of greatness.
Ranked the number one digital picture frame by Wirecutter. Aura frames are easy to set up, update, and enjoy, and clean up afterwards. Plus, Aura frames can be preloaded. You can still get preloaded pictures. With photos and gift messages, so whether you're giving the frame to your sister, grandma, or mother-in-law.
Stepbrother, I'm stuck in this frame.
You can be sure your gift is personalized just for them. And comes with unlimited storage. All you need is the free Aura app and a Wi-Fi connection. You can upload as many photos and pictures as you want all year round. Right now, Aura's having their very first friends and family sale. And we've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. For a limited time only, you can get $35 off their best-selling frame by visiting AuraFrames.com and using the promo code DUNGEONS at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code DUNGEONS. This is the best offer of the season. Birthday gift, you name it.
You know, you gotta give someone something this season. Whatever, you know, this is the thing that you do for that.
This is the best offer of the season, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply.
It can be hard balancing taking care of kids, senior loved ones, and yourself. Remember, it's okay to ask for help. There's a reason 29 million families have turned to Care.com. Find background-checked sitters, nannies, and senior caregivers who can help with everything from watching kids after school to senior meal prep. Whether you need full-time, part-time, or even occasional help, you can view rates and book highly rated caregivers that fit your budget and schedule. Get the help you need with care.com.
Not to be like teacher, but we didn't like increase one of our skills. Teacher.
Yeah, what a skill.
All right, everybody pick a skill.
Fuck yeah, spot hidden, dude. I told you, I'm fucking maxing this out. Maxing this shit out.
I'm with
out.
Matt. I want spot hidden, too.
Now that only one of us is going to max spot hidden. We only need one spot hidden person.
Matt, shut the fuck up and let Freddy do whatever he wants. Okay.
I'm going to put mine in stealth.
Okay, so first thing we're going to do is you're all going to roll a D100.
Okay.
All right, let's go down the row. So, Matt, right. What are you adding your skill to? Are you doing spot hidden or what are you doing?
That's fine. I'm going to do spot hidden. Freddy can do whatever he wants. I called spot hidden. I picked that class first.
That's fair.
Freddy, you can pick something else. I want to do spot hidden.
Okay, so roll me a D100.
Okay.
Is it, what'd you get?
27.
What's your spot hidden?
25.
25? Congratulations. You successfully advanced this skill. Mm-hmm. Roll a D10.
So you right, so you have to roll over the skill that you
have to roll over the skill in order to be able to
improve
it.
As you get better.
Yes. That makes sense. Okay.
10.
Well, all right. Congratulations. You now have a...
I get 10 on
you
it?
Get, yeah, that's your points.
Yeah, Freddy, sorry. I got spot hidden.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, you got 35. You got 35 on spot 35 hidden, spot now, hidden bro. Dude.
So why is Kelsey better at spotting hidden things after the crazy night she's had?
She, being underneath the house all that time, her eyes just acclimated to the dark. She was in the...
Oh, yeah, dude, you know what it is? You know what it is? You haven't spent enough time in dark areas, and it's the first time your pupils are dilating.
And then just all this danger is just getting her senses up. Like, she's just been in a constant state of danger for the past, like...
She's in touch with her animalistic...
like, 36 hours or whatever.
Okay.
She's all just right. more aware.
Yeah. Right,
and because she's been... Will, let me cook. And because she's been exposed to being a gambler and this other stuff, she's becoming more... She's just... Right, so the weight of all these lies is slowly coming out. She's becoming just more confident in herself, so she's just less energy spent on the anxiety of being caught and more energy doing stuff that she needs to do.
Stuff. Yeah, like when my stuff. Lies come out, I get more confident.
Yeah. No, but you're looking around more.
Yeah. I'm going to do stealth. I rolled barely above.
Nice.
I got 39.
And what's your stealth score?
35.
Okay.
So now I roll a D10.
You roll a D10.
I got 4.
All right, so you are now a little bit sneakier.
Nice.
Maybe because you've realized your robot origins.
Wow.
And for some reason, that makes you
sneaky.
Yeah,
because I couldn't move. I have become adept at not moving and blending into my surroundings.
Beautiful. I love it. Francis, what are we doing?
So we're doing Fighting Brawl. I have a 65 Fighting Brawl. I rolled an 82. Mm-hmm. And then I rolled a 9 on my D10 for skill points. So I now have 74 Fighting Brawl because Francis, this is the first time Francis ever instigated a fight with Sven and won.
Wow.
So he's feeling a lot of confidence now.
Okay, great.
That's all you need to win a fight.
That's confidence. All you need to win a fight or a debate.
All right, Freddy.
I would like to use persuasion. So therefore, I will roll. I rolled a 20.
Mm-hmm. What's your persuade skill? All right, too bad.
That didn't work.
No. Nope.
Too busy dying.
Too busy dying to get busy living. Meanwhile,
in the emergency room, there's blood shooting out of Tony's chest. They go, "Don't you die on me, damn it,
Pedro! We should have just fed him a marble. That was just a marble.
Chokes to death on a marble.
They say placebos work. I'm hoping that
it worked the other 8 times. I don't know why it didn't work this time. Oh, why? He's unconscious. Oh no,
this guy was doing just fine, but now he's choking on something. Who put a marble in his throat?
Pedro and Luigi slowly creep out of the OR.
Who are those people? Oh my god, this man needs to be put under immediately. My god. Blood. I need blood. What kind of blood? What kind of blood does this guy have? We put more blood in him. It's running out of blood.
Let's zip back to Francis. When you approach your house, okay, so you see for one, the gaping hole still in the side of the wall from where Tony drove his Ford Edsel in there. What's your play? Are you going to walk straight in the door? Or are you going to say hi to your parents? Are you going to check in? Or are you trying to sneak in? What's going on?
I'm pretty tired. I think I'm just going to go upstairs and go to bed. I'm just going to walk through the front door and go straight to my bedroom.
Okay, so you walk in, and your parents, Ed and Kimonwan, are pacing anxiously because they haven't heard anything from you since the shootout at the drive-in movie theater. And they go, "Francis! Oh, thank God! Jiminy Jimbanjillikers!" And then
your language.
Ed gives you a big hug.
"Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. I'm okay."
"Oh, son, we're so happy to see you. Oh, my God. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down."
"Okay. It was just, I kind of wanted to go to bed, but okay."
"We're going to let you go to bed, but we just wanted to talk about this crazy night. Are you okay?"
"I'm fine. Did you sell out my friends?"
So Kimon Wan says, "Francis, you know what we said? We always believe that family comes first. And I
except when it doesn't. You always tell me the opposite of the advice right after you give it to
me.
Well,
family comes first, except for when family is, you know, you don't trust your family anymore. But we trust you and we love you. And so I had an opportunity to make sure that you were safe by selling out your friends. And so that's what I did. But I did it to put you first. And I just want to say, your father and I, are very, very proud of you, son.
I'm kind of upset that you sold it, my friends, but I'm pretty psyched that you're proud of me, so I'm feeling a lot of emotions right now.
We've always been a little worried about you. I know that's probably no secret to you, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about me too.
Tonight, we think you comported yourself very well. You rose to the occasion to rescue a defenseless young girl, and when the time came, you escaped the authorities, which is also something we're very good on, because, you know, again, we don't like most authorities, but we do like
some
authorities.
Fuck 12!
Yeah, so you evaded the police, you evaded capture, you made some tough calls tonight, and we just got off the phone with your teacher, Mrs. Grammer's sister, who said that you defended your teacher with nothing more than an ice cream scoop.
Yeah, I was pretty heroic, I gotta say.
And then Ed, who's just kind of smiling proudly, says, you know, son, it's just, we've been hoping we'd see this side of you emerge for a long time now. And when it did, we had a present we wanted to give you. Before, we weren't sure if a teenager was ready for something like this, but you know, after tonight, I think you've earned it.
This is a sharper ice cream scoop because I didn't get through the ocular nerve and I was kind of upset by that.
No, son, it's this. And he, from behind the couch, pulls out a Kar-98 rifle from
the German army.
Dude.
Oh my God.
With a big old scope on it.
A fucking Kar-98. A German?
Did you get this from the war?
This is a Kar-98 sniper rifle that I pinched off of a Nazi during the war, son. You know, your mother and I are big on home defense. We're big on learning how to handle firearms so that we can act swiftly and decisively when the bombs fall, because it's going to be man versus man. It's going to be dog eat dog out there. And you've shown yourself to be a thoughtful, responsible young man today. So I am giving this gun to you. And
oh, boy.
He gives you this sniper rifle.
Can't wait to take this to school and show all my friends.
Well, yeah, you know, you can put it in your locker and go hunting with it afterwards. That's something that kids did back in the 1950s.
Yeah, cool.
So
I'm not very good with guns, though. I'm only at like a 25%.
Now, we are going to expect you to practice with it every day.
Oh,
and we
are
going to expect you to treat it with respect. But we did just want you to have that.
Should I give it a name?
Son, that's up to you. You give it whatever name you want.
Broomhilda.
All right, kiddo. Well, why don't you head on upstairs? It's Saturday. You know, you got work tomorrow, but why don't you just go ahead and relax?
Why don't you head upstairs and polish your rifle?
Why don't you go ahead and get a feel for that thing?
Oh, boy. Thanks so much, Mom and Dad. You're the best. Also, Mom, did you tell Dad that you killed a guy? That was sick.
Yes, I did. See, that's what we're about as a family. We look out for each other. We do what's right, and we do what's necessary at all times.
Yeah, fuck everybody who isn't us, I guess.
They both give you a tender kiss on the forehead and send you upstairs.
Wow, this is the best day of my life.
Francis heads upstairs.
So here's what I wanted to do. So Francis and Kelsey, the two of you have a whole day before your fight tonight at the old weird bunker at the edge of town with Dakota Johnson.
Assuming I go to the fight.
But you have money on it, don't you? Don't you have money on it?
Also, your whole livelihood is at stake if they don't.
Yeah.
It'll wipe your deck clean.
You guys can do whatever you want. But I figured the way I would do it is there's a morning, noon, and night. And you can do any one thing you would like to do in each one of those time periods, whether it's train, scout out the competition, depending on what the actions do. Like, you can earn some advantages that'll help you in the boxing match to come tonight if you decide to go to the boxing match, but maybe you won't.
I mean, not all Peachyville's going to get destroyed. I want
Well, you don't know
friends.
That.
Well, I know, but if I found, I'd probably be worried about Trudy and...
I mean, as far as we know, she just went home with her husband and is, at home fine.
And Tony, well, you got to check in on him every morning.
I figure... But yeah, this is basically now the start of the morning. We'll say Tony gets hit by the car at the end of the morning period, and then we can decide whether the word about that trickles out.
So Francis calls Kelsey.
Kelsey picks up.
Hey, you ready for the fight tonight?
Oh, hey, Francis. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing so good. Yesterday was the best day of my life.
Yeah, I was worried about that. Give me a why is it the best day of your life?
A bunch of beautiful British people fell in love with me.
Okay, that's fine.
Then I successfully evaded the cops.
Uh-huh.
And I protected you from that guy. And then my parents gave me a Nazi rifle.
Oh.
I don't like Nazis. That's not why it's
cool. Yeah. You like
I
want to
be clear on that.
You like the gun part.
Yeah, the gun.
Yeah, and how do you feel about what happened with that gentleman that was here?
He's still alive, right?
Yeah.
So fuck him. He was going to beat you up.
Okay, no, I appreciate you standing up for me, Francis.
So I had an idea for tonight.
Okay.
So if you can't beat him, I have a gun.
Yeah. So I knew you were going to say that. Okay.
Yeah, because it's a good plan.
Okay. All right. All right, Francis. Well, maybe we all gather everybody for lunch or something.
Okay, yeah, lunch sounds great.
Yeah, let me get my workout
going. I'm
going
to be practicing with my rifle.
Okay. Oh,
her name's Broomhilda.
Oh, that's a nice name. Where are you practicing?
She's a 10.
Where?
She's a 10? Is that what
you said? What does that mean?
She's a perfect 10. She's so beautiful.
Oh, you really like your gun.
Yeah.
Okay, where are you going to practice?
In my backyard. I'm going
to
set up
some... Okay, well, your backyard is very close to my backyard. So maybe go out to, the woods.
That's a good idea. I'll go to the woods. I'll take some targets with me.
Yeah, just, shoot into, a berm or something. Bullets go far.
Yeah.
You know that,
fair.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's a sniper rifle, so I gotta get pretty far away.
Oh, my God, oh.
That's the thing. They won't even see me. They take the shot. If I get him in the kneecap or something, he'll just go down, and then you can punch him in the head as hard as you can, and he'll fall down.
Your parents gave you a sniper rifle.
Yeah. Aren't they cool?
Yeah, there's... Hey, you know, I don't know what it's like to be a parent, so, okay, well, we'll talk soon, Francis.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Love you. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. Sorry, I mean, it's just instinct.
It's fine. You're a good kid. You're a good kid, Francis.
Thanks, you're a good teacher.
Okay, thanks.
I hang up the phone, and Kelsey's, like, been looking in the mirror, and she's, like, kind of touching her cheeks, and she's like, ugh. And then she opens up B, and she goes to blushing, and so you see that she wrote, only humans can blush, and then she, like, has nothing else written on it, and then she pulls out one of the encyclopedias underneath the bed, somebody else, and she opens it, and she, like, sees all the information, and she's about to write it. And then she glances down and sees all the blood from the eyeball that happened. And she sighs and she closes the book and she throws it underneath the bed. And then she's going to call Trudy.
Hello, Trudy Trout speaking.
Oh, hi, Trudy. How are you after everything? How was Tucker? He seemed a little upset.
Just wonderful. Tucker is the most amazing man, and I feel bad for disobeying him mentally the other night, but I am on the straight and narrow, as they say. I'm just back to my sunny, normal self, and I'm so in love with the man of my dreams and the man that I married and the man who married me.
Oh, how did he feel about last night?
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to ask me another time.
Oh, why can't I ask you now? What's going on?
I don't have that information.
Oh, what? You don't have the information of what he felt last night?
Well, there's a glimmer, if you will. A sort of memory of a memory, maybe. But last night was a dream. Everything went according to plan.
Okay.
Everything went so well. And I went and I got 8 hours of sleep. I feel so refreshed and renewed. I feel like a new woman.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't know why I asked about Tucker. I'm more concerned about you. I mean, that was pretty crazy last night. Everything that happened, the guy and the messages, and what do we
course.
Think? I haven't talked
and
to...
And how are you? How is your lawn?
Oh, I'm... I want
to
roll...
Very Buffy robot. How's your money?
She seems weird to me. What do I roll to just like...
Psychology.
That's a 19... And my psychology is 40.
Okay, so that's under half.
Yeah.
So that's a hard success. So, yes, she seems different.
Hey, Trudy, you want to meet up for lunch? There's a thing I'm going to have to take care of later today. It would be nice to have the...
Trudy, dear, you've been on the phone for quite a while.
Oh, sorry, Tuck. You know, I just get talking to these salespeople, and I just can't stop.
Oh, Trudy,
they have so many things to sell me.
Well, why don't you sell me a kiss on the cheek, dear?
You're so funny.
Can you pass the phone to Tucker?
Oh, sure. Tucker, there's somebody who would like to talk to you.
Delightful.
And then Tucker hangs up the phone.
I'm gonna call Tony.
All right, well, he just got hit by a car, so
it just rings.
No answering machines back then, huh?
I don't think so.
No.
Do you have a secretary?
Oh, yeah. The afterwards, the guy comes in.
Hello.
Oh, hey, what's up?
David,
Freddy?
Fred Dale here.
What's up, Fred Dale? Where's Tony?
I don't know, man. I just came in to open up, and he's not here.
Wait, okay,
I went through all the effort of finding my own voice.
Okay, all right, fine. Let me give me a second.
I don't know. He's just not here right now.
Oh,
I'm real worried, mister.
Have you checked all the usual spots? Have you checked in the back alley?
I checked in the alley. I checked in the bar across the street.
Under the Jeep?
Under the Jeep. Under the front porch. And this door's wide open. It looks like someone's turned his place over.
Uh-oh. And that's all you've heard?
And there's cops everywhere at the intersection just across the street. You gotta come over here. I'm real scared. I need an adult.
Alright, stay right there.
I got 12 cars I gotta rent by myself. I don't know what to do.
Alright, I'll be right there. I'm gonna drive over there.
Okay. We'll say it's now the afternoon.
Okay.
What did you do with your morning, Francis?
He opens up his closet and you see, well, we see, but nobody else sees, his altar to Shane. Like, there's scribbles all over the inside wall of his closet about, like, things he might possibly be allergic to, his routine from when he leaves the school and when he goes home, possible blackmail stuff on his dad, like, all this shit in his closet. And he takes out one of the pre-drawn pictures of Shane, and he goes, you and me are gonna train a little bit in the woods, Shane. And he takes the picture out of the woods, puts it up against the tree. This is his dark secret. Puts it up against the tree, and he goes, hey, who's a pussy now? And he fires and he misses and he goes, okay, it's still me, I guess. But we'll see. All right, let's zero in. And he's just going to spend the whole day trying to shoot at this picture of Shane from as far distance as the gun will allow.
Anthony, can I pitch you a Dear Evan Hansen subplot between you and Shane?
Francis, give me a firearms roll. All
right. My firearms is naturally 25 and I rolled a 41.
Okay, so yes, it does not go well, and you do not gain any wisdom from doing this, unfortunately. You just kind of spend the entire afternoon getting, like, I guess you get a little bit more acquainted with this gun. So we will say that you get one advantage dice to spend at some point on this rifle the next time you use it.
Okay. You draw upon the one time you actually manage to, by pure luck, hit the target. But it's only
yes,
once.
I'm the chosen one.
All right, so it is now the afternoon.
Okay.
You're heading to Tony's.
Mm-hmm.
Francis, you do have work today at the jerk shop. Do you want to go to that? Or do you want to weasel out of it?
They don't need me. I need it here.
Yeah, do you call in?
Yeah, I run back home really quickly and I call in.
Hey, I can't come into work right now. I'm sick.
Okay, I'll find somebody to cover you.
Thanks so much, Julie. You're the best manager.
Whatever.
Perfect.
Go back out to the woods and continue shooting.
So you're going
to
spend the afternoon shooting as well.
Yeah. I rolled for the second training, and my guns is 25, and I got a 24 on my roll.
Oh, excellent. We'll say you get two advantage dice for this. You now have three advantage dice.
Yay,
you can burn on your
the child
rifle.
Of our group is now better at shooting guns.
Yay. Fantastic.
So at Tony's cars, there's already a line through the door of, like, angry teenagers trying to, like, return.
Is Freddy going to decide this? Or is this
I'm just setting the scene. I'm setting the scene. Because wait, what the fuck do you mean? I'm just setting the scene. I just said the guy said.
Yeah,
I get to decide it, Matt. Go fuck yourself, Matt.
Like the DM situation. I've never been.
This is where we draw the line for us inserting things into the story.
Yeah,
it's
like me just doing one sentence of, like, yeah, just following up on a little bit of roleplay I did in the scene previous, and here comes Matt trying to fucking police my universe, my AU.
I was looking at Wilfie like, what happens when I get there? You start talking.
Yeah, this is, I like this, though. So, there's a crowd of angry teenagers.
Yeah, because remember the night before was the big drive-in movie night, so now this is them, everyone trying to get their returns, and then
on their cars,
old Fred Dale can't keep up with it.
Okay.
So you go, and it's a mess of activity. As you walk by in the front, there's just like a bunch of teenagers. I gotta get to work!
So you still haven't seen anything of Tony?
No, nothing.
He hasn't called in?
Oh, sorry. No, nothing. Hey, if you could give me a hand with all of these teens, I could maybe take their keys and park them around. Ah, jeez, I'm so overwhelmed.
Oh, I wish I could help. I got a lot going on.
Hey,
sorry.
Fuck you, lady.
Okay, well, Freddy. This is why you're working where you are, okay?
Hey, what the fuck is that supposed
to mean? That's always been your attitude.
Mean?
You were always a trouble kid. Look at that. Look at that. No respect. I'm supposed to do your job for you? I'm here. You don't know where your boss is. I'm trying to find out where Tony is. He's my friend. He's just said there's a bunch of cops and there's some crazy thing at the intersection. So I want to go.
Okay, yes. So you're going to go to the intersection?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, at the intersection, you see there is a wrecked Ford Edsel that says Tony's cars on the back. There's a traumatized truck driver who T-boned this thing, and there's cops taking his statement.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask what happened.
Well, Miss, what's your name? Oh, who are you?
Mrs. Grammer. Come on.
Oh, Mrs.
Officer
Grammer.
Joe, I've been to your house. I teach both of your kids.
Excuse me, Miss Grammer. I didn't recognize you. Yeah, I was
so
Cindy busy.
How's Cindy doing?
Huh?
How's Cindy doing?
Well.
Oh, her meatloaf's the best.
No, well, we're not going to be having much more of it.
Oh, why? What happened?
We're vegetarian now.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
The first ones in the history of America.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure she'll be okay.
We're vegetarian now. Do you still go to the same church?
Well, what can I do for you, Kelsey? Well,
I'm wondering what happened. It looks like that's Tony's car. Is Tony okay? What happened?
Well, his car got hit by a truck.
Okay, was he in it, though?
Miraculously.
Oh.
Tony Collette flew from the truck and landed on a hospital bed.
Oh.
See, that's the Peachyville ER right there.
Okay, I run to the ER.
Cindy and I will see you for vegetarian meatloaf on Thursday.
Okay, I hope she's feeling better.
As you open the door to go into the hospital, the two hurried Italian men are walking the other direction, ripping off their surgical uniforms. Like, we can never tell anybody what happened here.
Where do we go now?
Back home.
We can't go back to Italy. Mussolini's not there. It's not the same. It's not the same country now that he's gone.
Well, there's a bunch of Nazis in New York still, so I guess we could go live with them.
Okay. They love our pizza there in New York.
We will open a pizzeria, and it will be called Sbarro's.
Oh, I love you, Mr. Sbarro.
I love you, Luigi.
That's right. Every year, a person borrows is made by Nazi sympathizers. So,
it's like Doc Martens.
You go into the ER. Once you explain that you're Kelsey Grammer and you know the receptionist's child, she's like, oh, of course, Kelsey, come on in. And she points you to Toni Collette's room, where when you walk in, you see Toni Collette bandaged up, looking like absolute shit, sharing a cigarette with Dr. Mann.
Oh.
And Dr. Mann's like, I told you, Toni, to watch out there, you old horse thief.
Toni, what happened? Doctor, what happened to Toni?
Well, it seems like this strapping young buck got banged up pretty bad and fortunately caught a lucky break. Now Dr. Mann's helping him get back on his feet.
Dr. Mann, give me their cigarette.
Sure thing, bucko.
And okay, thank you so much. And you gave me a moment here with my friend.
Kelsey lights up a cigarette also.
Little smoke break. Some privacy, please, doctor, please.
All right. Well, I'll give you a couple of minutes, and then I've got a prescription for you I got to give you, so I'll be back in...
Oh, goody!
However long it takes for the two of you to talk.
Okay. Okay, see. Okay, see.
Toni, what happened?
Toni embraces Kelsey and starts weeping openly.
Toni, what happened?
I'm living a life of lies, Kelsey.
I know, me too. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm here for you. What happened? Tell me.
Kelsey.
Is that a bullet hole?
Kelsey, it is an entrance and an exit wound.
Did you shoot yourself?
No, Kelsey.
Somebody shot you?
Somebody shot me.
Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you what, Kelsey, come here, Kelsey.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
The secretary at the police station.
Yeah.
She's a goddamn dope, good, dirty red.
A what? A
communist.
Kelsey, like, stumbles backwards. Chips.
I got all mixed up in this thing, but Kelsey, listen to me.
What?
We got ourselves an owl, baby. We got ourselves... The queen owes me a favor, you see.
The queen?
I forgot about that.
The queen of England?
The queen of England, you see. I've got
the queen of England owes this former cat a favor.
A lot of people have been like, I like that Will's like saying no a lot more to everybody this season.
Wait, he's really sticking by the rules.
So, okay. Wait, why does the queen owe you a favor? There's so much going on. I don't know.
Kelsey.
Judy's acting weird and...
Kelsey, I'm so sorry for everything I've said.
It's okay.
It's all a lie, Kelsey.
I know you're soft on the inside.
Kelsey, I never went to the war. I went to the war.
What? You what?
I never was in the war. I went to the war. You understand? I was in the war.
Wait.
I was in the war.
Wait, you never...
While our boys were suffering and dying and across the ocean, I was
I hear
here.
You. Wait, I need to understand.
I was here, a scant 90 miles away in the war.
So you, wait, this is important
to
understand.
The war here.
Toni, I start patting your head
gently.
I need you to speak a little more clearly. You're saying.
I can't be any clearer, Kelsey.
You weren't.
I was not.
In the Great War. You didn't go overseas.
I didn't fight the Great War. I didn't fight the Second World War. I fought a war of my own
What was that war that you fought?
It was a war, a lonely war, you see, on the streets of the war.
But you said you've been in the war.
No, you fool. Kelsey, you need to listen to what I'm saying to you. I was not. As I stand before God as my witness, I was not.
Kelsey.
I was in the war.
Oh, you mean you lived in the war?
In many ways. I stand in the war.
Kelsey's hands begin to shake with a cigarette. Toni, I need to understand exactly what you're saying, because I came here for help. There's just so much going on. There's so much violence, and I've been living these lies, and I'm about to fight again. And
another
I know,
fight? Kelsey, you promised you'd never fight again. You told me this after months.
I did, but
after
you,
that one time we won a qualifying
understand,
semifinal
you,
round of the bowling thing, you told me that.
I know, and I told you in that one night of passion that we had 15 years ago.
Yes.
And I regret immensely.
Oh, sweet babe, you shouldn't regret it at all. We are all the products of our mistakes.
But you were there for me that night.
I was.
And
I understand
that when you say you weren't in the war, that when my older brother went overseas, like everybody was called to and died, you lied and you stayed here in the small town a couple of miles away called DeWar.
That's right. That's right. I take
the cigarette and I stick it in your cheek.
Oh my god! What?
Doctor!
What the hell is going on in here?
And I drop it. I say, "That's no man." And I start walking. I clench my fist.
Kelsey, no! Please come back. You're my only friend, Kelsey.
I guess this is the only way to solve things. And I call up Francis. And I say, "I hope your gun's loaded."
Oh, it is always, baby. Ready to rock and roll.
Let's go.
Let's go fuck up a boxer!
Yeah, I walk towards wherever it is that we're supposed to be boxing.
Listening, this is the part where I tell you about what's going on in the Dungeons and Daddies verse. Due to the popular demand, we've added a show to Edinburgh for the Dungeons and Daddies UK EU tour in October. Edinburgh's happening October 4th. If the rest of the tour dates are any indication, them tickets are going to be going fast, so head over to dungeonsanddaddies.com/live for links. You can buy them there on the website, even on your phone. Patreon supporters, in addition to already knowing about that show because they got first crack at tickets, sorry, they're eating good this month. EXL members and up, we just posted a gameplay video of Matt, Anthony, and myself, the OG gamer boys, attempting Chained Together. This is a game where we're all chained together, trying to platform our way back from the depths of hell. Have a listen to the shenanigans.
Take another look and see where it stops so we know when to jump. Okay, right at that wood fence.
Yeah, right when it stops now, go.
Wait. What are you doing? What?
Why did you call it, Matt?
Why did you call it, Matt?
Follow the way this way.
Oh my God.
We said we were going to follow it.
We did. I went when it was following it. Oh.
I know, but you called it to move when we weren't ready.
Guys, stop for a moment. I failed you. I'm wrong. If I could take these chains off me and stay in hell, I would. But alas, you're stuck with me.
All patrons get access to the Peach Pit, our after show where we discuss the episode you just listened to, in addition to the Warhammer miniseries Matt is going to be doing. That's right, we have a record weekend set this month. It's finally happening. You will not want to miss this. Unless, of course, you're someone who hates Warhammer. In which case, you won't want to miss this. This might be your gateway drug into the grimdark universe. Huh? Wouldn't that be sweet? More fictional universes for you to be a part of? Isn't that what we all want? Dungeons and Dice is Matt Arnold's Kelsey Grammer, Anthony Burgess, Francis Farnsworth, Will Campos is our DM, Beth May is Trudy Trout, and myself, Freddie Wong, is Tony Collette. Our theme song is A Hole in the Stars by Maxim Waller. Brian Fernandez is our content producer. Ashton Nicolet is our community manager. Courtney Terror is our community coordinator. Cindy Denton is our merchandise manager. Esther Ellis is our lead editor. Travis Reeves provides additional editing. And Robin Rapp is our transcriber. By supporting this show directly on Patreon, you support independent podcast creators like us, as well as join the ranks of fine folks like Gabriel Portillo, Steve Wonderdog, Ian Knott, Ian, Kathleen Louise, Connor P, Christiana Marcon, B Sherm 87, Lee Doodle, Christian Fionn, Nick Yeardley, Elliot like E.T., Cade Story, Kali Oksanen, Shanna Mandel, Uni, Lewis Bunting, Mark Selesky, Gleisjoy, Dead Luther, and Christian Hauser. To get in on this, go to patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. Merch and more at dungeonsanddads.com. Our live show tickets for the UK and EU, dungeonsanddads.com/live. And that next episode is coming at you July 30th. We'll see you then.
Swallowing my dreams and making them scars, too far away, but I'll stay today. All that I
Doctor.
Well, sounds like you've got woman trouble. You're crying.
Doctor,
oh, that's not cool.
Doctor, give me a phone. Give me a phone, doctor.
I don't think
God
you're in any condition to be talking to anybody he slaps you across the face. Pull yourself together, goddammit.
On the same cheek as the burn.
Treat my wound, but I need the phone. I need to call someone.
All right, very well. I've lost much respect for you.
I call Tony's cars.
Okay.
Fred, are you there?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. I don't know how long it's been, but... Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of motherfucking people in here, Mr. Collette. I can't handle it.
Just let them have the car.
What do you mean?
Just leave the keys. Let the children have the cars. It doesn't mean anything anymore, don't you understand? Don't you get some lie? It's all been a lie, the cars and the fast talk. I'm not a man.
Oh, gee. Okay. Well, I don't know what to do with that information, Mr. Collette. Do you want me to just, like, lock up then? Can I go home?
Yes. Collect your full paycheck and... just take it. Just take the money. Just leave me be.
Okay, kind of a weird thing for you to call me about, but okay, thanks so much, bye.
I'd like to call... Hello, operator. Operator.
Yes?
The Trout residence, please.
Okay, connecting you right now.
Trudy Trout, this is the
Trout residence. Trudy, my best friend.
Oh,
Trudy, I need you to tell me everything's gonna be okay.
Of course it is. Everything's going to be just fine. Who is this?
This is Tony Collette.
Tony Collette? Oh.
And the bowling team, remember?
Oh,
Jesus
yes.
Christ.
I like the bowling team. Yes, we are a team. And we went all the way.
We did, didn't we? Those were the days.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, we won the bowling thing, and then everything went to shit.
Oh, you sound so sad.
Yes.
You sound like...
Who sounds sad, dear?
Oh,
you can put
just
Tucker
another
on.
Person selling something, but I'm not buying. That's
you can
why
put Tucker
so
on. You can put Tucker on.
Oh, Tucker, another person would like to talk to you.
All right, well, this time, now I need you to stop calling here, whoever this is.
Tucker!
Tucker, yes?
It's Tony Collette, your boy.
I don't know who
your
that
pal.
Is. I'm sorry, sir.
And he hangs up
what
the phone.
What the fuck? I was friends with that guy. The end. Scene.